Welcome back to Lunara,
a man's kind voice says as I'm still surrounded by light.
Did you have a...
There's a sharp gasp before he adds,
Princess Isabella, you've returned.
My vision clears, and what the hell is this? I'm in a cave of sorts. The cavernous area is a mix of light and shadows and shimmering rock walls, with a ceiling that seems to disappear into the darkness above. The air is cool and crisp and causes goosebumps to rise on my arms. When I look down, I'm no longer dressed in the yoga pants and sweatshirt I was wearing 2 minutes ago. I'm clothed in a floor-length gown made of silk that feels weightless against my body. The dark blue color clings to my curves, but doesn't restrict my movements as I turn around. There's only darkness behind me, and I notice I'm standing on a platform made of engraved stone and a metal emblem that seems to pulse with some sort of vibrating energy. I start to kneel, feeling lightheaded, but I catch the stare of the man who greeted me, reminding me that I'm not alone. The stranger is on one knee, dressed in dark cotton pants and a matching long-sleeved button-up shirt, and holding some sort of silver staff with a blue stone at the top that resembles the color of my dress. His head is bowed, but his light green eyes keep flickering toward me. When he finds me watching him, there seem to be a million questions dancing within his stare. But he manages to settle on just one.
Are you in distress, Princess Isabel?
I'm not sure. And my name is Isla, not Isabella, I tell him. Then that twinge in my chest returns. His face contorts briefly.
Your face and essence. You must be our lost princess.
I've officially lost my mind. Or maybe I'm dreaming. Yes, that must be it. I drank too much wine last night as I pouted over having nothing to do on a Friday night. This is a hangover dream, one I'm ready to be done with. I start to pinch myself and notice perfectly manicured nails gracing my hands. Not only that, but the scar on my right ring finger that's been there since I was in third grade and cut myself on a can of ravioli is no longer present. What the hell is happening to me, and why can't I wake up? I ask myself, but this stranger seems to believe I'm speaking to him. He's still bowed, and his frown only deepens.
I'm going to alert King Yasha.
I need to wake up. I need to wake up. I need to wake up. I close my eyes and grip the sides of my hair. The tips of my fingers brush over a cool metal, and when I reopen my eyes, my normally blonde hair is rose gold with white and auburn highlights. This can't be real. It's not possible. A crown falls off my head, tumbling onto the stone platform I still stand on, and rolling until it stops at the man's feet. He picks up the unwanted accessory with gentleness and finally stands.
Your Highness, I don't know what's happened, but please, come with me. I'm sure King Yasha will make sense of this.
My hands shake as I release the foreign strands of what should be my hair. I'm not me, but I still feel like me. I have no clue where I am or what the hell happened to my car. My heart constricts to the point of pain as I blink several times, trying to force any of this to make sense. The coolness of the cave surrounds me, and I close my eyes, inhaling deeply. While I'm understandably freaked out, I'm not frightened. Not in the way that I fear for my life, just more confused than I've ever been. This must be some vivid dream. Maybe if I play along with whatever this is, I'll be able to wake up. Yes, that has to be the answer here. Reopening my eyes, I nod toward the unknown man and extend my hand, taking back the offered crown. As its weight settles onto my head, I ignore the swell in my chest and pray that in no time at all, I'll be waking up in my own bed, never having hiked that damn mountain and gotten on the wrong freeway.